Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye olde bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam from Rose Prick's Bachelor Podcast, and here I am with my gorgeous little friend on a Monday, Ben Mandelker, for the B-side blog and the Banta Blender. Hello, Bean.
Oh, hello there, Ronnie. How are you today on this Monday afternoon?
I'm good. I was like, bye world, last night very early. I would like to thank my friend Tylenol PM for coming through.
That's always good.
Myself out.
Yeah. I also had a good sleep because I I started watching Married to Medicine at 11 o'clock last night, and within like by the time Toya started talking about Red Lobster biscuits, I was like, that sounds good, and then that just somehow lulled me into sleep. I was like gone at 11 o'clock. But we had a big weekend. Ronnie and I went to the Vulture Fest, where our friend and occasional Watch What Crappens guest, Brian Moylan, was moderating a discussion with Erika Jayne, the reality star, actress, singer. Yeah. So that was super fun, especially because we got to see a lot of our people in our little sort of like podcast/podcast plus community. So we saw Ira Madison, our buddy Ira, who we really enjoy. And we saw Emerson from the People's Couch, who that was my first time having significant interaction with him. And he was great.
Yeah, Emerson and Stacey, love those guys.
Mm-hmm. It was great to finally meet Brian Moylan in person.
Yes, and he was wearing like skirt pants, which I loved. He looked like yes. He was going to like Hasidic girl school. And I was there for those pants. I was like, I think at 42, I can just start wearing skirt pants. Why the fuck?
Yeah.
Get me some Asa caftans and some skirt pants. I'm in.
Aren't those, they were sort of like culottes, right? Aren't culottes a thing that looked like, right?
Yeah,
they were like extended. They were like culotte capris.
Yeah, they were Hasidic culottes.
Yeah.
And I was living for those.
We'll get some of those for you. We also ran into some Crappens listeners at the Roosevelt, which was super cool. I love when people are like, oh my God, aren't you from Watcher Crappens? And I feel like a celebrity. And when, especially when it happens in front of people who like I have just met, I just feel really like the king of the world.
Until they're like, hey, are you from Watcher Crappens? Your car is parked illegally. And it's about to get towed. It's like, wait a minute.
We noticed because you have Crappens branding all over your car.
We noticed because your name tag says, hello, my name is Ben and I'm from Watch What Crappens.
But I'm sure people are more interested in hearing about Erika Jayne than like, oh, we saw this person, we saw that person. There was a free margarita.
Well, also, Ira was on his way after that to do Mal's podcast, Please Advise.
Yeah.
You know, what a tiny little fun world. I wish we
exactly.
All... I wish everybody who talks shit about Bravo just had a monthly meeting where we could meet at like a Denny's and just laugh and laugh and laugh together.
We just need to have a Crappens Fest, you know? Except
hell
that's
yeah.
Like a lot, you know, we'll just take over some ballroom.
Yeah,
and
we'll
just
do
have
Roosevelt. We could do like the Best Western on fucking Highland.
The Best Western, exactly. You know, and Ira himself just launched a brand new podcast called Keep It, which is it's sort of become his tagline. It's kind of LOL that anyone has a tagline, you know, that's not like a reality star, but he has actually developed a tagline.
It's actually too short to be a Real Housewife. He's just
keep it.
Roll, keep going. They're doing the roll hand signal with their fingers. Keep it going. Come on.
But he actually makes it work because he'll tweet at people. Like someone will post something ridiculous and he'll just tweet at them and just say, keep it. Like, like I don't want any part of that. And it's really funny. So now he has a podcast where he will be spiritually telling people to keep it, I'm sure. So that was fun. But, you know... Why should we plug Ira when we have something ginormous to plug in the Crappens universe?
I have no answer for that.
Listen, while you're listening to Ira's podcast and Molly's podcast and everyone else's podcast, you should also be heading over to watchacrappens.com to get tickets to our Houston show on March 9th. That's right. Watcher Crappens is coming to Houston. We are going to Dallas. I mean, I'm sorry, to Houston, to Texas.
Yeah, and I'm sorry that we're announcing this on the show way after the tickets went on sale, but We didn't know. They go on sale when they go on. We told you to go on to Watch What Crappens Twitter. I mean, come on, people.
Yeah, if VIP has already sold out, so if you were looking for VIP tickets, apologies. This is why you got to follow us on Instagram and on Twitter, because that shit goes live there, okay? And then it's like Lord of the Flies to get those tickets, you know?
I'm the one with the glasses that get broken. Piggy, right? I mean, I hate calling Piggy. Myself Piggy, but I really did love him. The Revenge of the Fat Kid.
We are really excited to bring it to Texas again. So yeah, people have been like, does this mean you're not coming to Dallas? I think it means Dallas. For right now, it's Houston. Hopefully Dallas down the
right
line.
Now,
but right
it's
now,
Houston, Houston, because Dallas, I mean, you know, Dallas is a very fancy place. And yeah, everyone who lives in every other part of Texas, it's like, ugh, Dallas, because Dallas is like, they take themselves seriously. They're fancy. And for good reason. They're hot. They're rich. They've got tons of culture. Mm-hmm. And it is very difficult to book there. People want a lot of damn money to book in Dallas. I was like, girl, yeah. I even called the Roundup. And they're like, I don't know if this is proper for our venue. Let us listen. I was like, shut up. You're the fucking Roundup. Get the fuck over yourself. Get some folding chairs in there.
I'm like both so – like I'm like – so much like fuck them, but then also like, oh my god, that's the most amazing thing ever that the Roundup was like, we're not sure if you really work with our brand.
I know. Jeez, but you Roundup. Know and, but I, you gotta love people taking themselves too seriously, because we have a show called Watch What Crappens, and we're yeah. here selling tickets to come see it, which is kind of the same thing. That's why I thought it would be perfect, you know. Come on, Roundup.
Well, you know, we have to give a shout out to Christine Webb, because she is the one who put us in touch with Warehouse Live, which is where we'll be doing our show in Houston. And she listens, and she has a friend who's a general manager over there, and she's like, oh my god, my friend has this place, you should totally go there. I was like, we would be interested. So she contacted him, she gave him the 411, Mary J. Blige style, and then put us in contact, and like within days it was all set. And the thing is, when we reach out to places and we don't have any connection, it's the ball goes very slowly. It rolls very, very slowly, because they don't know who we are. And it's just like a whole, like, it takes like literally a week to get back an email. But when there is a connection, it goes fast, which is my way of saying, if you're in some of these cities and you have a connection to a place that's like a 200 to 500 seater, you know, let us know, and then we will do our best to book.
Hell yeah, we're down there for some Atlanta trips. We want to go to
D.C.
Boston, D.C. we want to come to. Y'all know yeah. places. Just let us know. You Seattle. Know we'll go anywhere. Have you ever seen me turn yeah. down an invite? Never. I'll show yeah. up everywhere, okay? I'm sad. I'm a yeah. sad person.
But also, like, don't do something like, oh my god, come to my city. Here, you should play at Carnegie Hall. It's like, we can't do Carnegie Hall, because we've had a few people.
Thank you for your confidence in us.
So yeah, we've had a few people who are like, you should play at this place. And I look it up. It's like 1,500 seats. It's like the Kennedy Center or whatever. I'm like, someday.
The Kennedy Center. The Kennedy Center honors.
The Kennedy Center dishonors.
Trump's going to be like, this podcast is huge.
I would say for most cities, a venue that's like 200 to 300 seats, and then if it's a really big city, like a major market, like probably like a 500 seater. That's where we're at right now, and that's what seems to be working well for us. So
I would like to play Candy's Soul Food Restaurant personally.
Yes,
the Real Housewives of Atlanta, because man, she's obsessed with that chicken, and I know I will be too. I want to just play the back patio at Candy's.
I would 100% do the back patio. 100%. Well, she's got like a whole setup space set up for performances there. And speaking of Candy, because we are here to talk Real Housewives of Atlanta, I want to circle back to her opening line, because the two of us last week. Last week we're like, what a generic line. That's stupid. And then
there
everyone's like,
not a big enough duh to describe how dumb both of us are. Usually, I mean, on this, usually I would say something's dumb like that, and you'd be like, duh, Ronnie. But this time yeah. we were both dead. I think because I said dumb. Trump.
I think, well, we should, yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's the thing is this, say what you will about President Trump, you're fired is really kind of connected to him. So when yeah. Candy says, don't mess with the boss because you might get fired, it's your mind goes to Trump first. But then a lot of people were like, actually, we think it's a veiled reference to the fact that Phaedra got fired because she fucked with Candy. We're like, oh.
It's not even veiled. I'll bet that she probably said, or you'll get fired, Phaedra.
Phaedra got fired. That's just what her line is.
And they like barely cut it out.
Oh my goodness. So yes.
That was my first note too. I wrote candy fired line, duh. That's my first note.
We have to repent for it.
Apology.
Listen, we never said we were a smart podcast. We just are a podcast. Give us a little credit for trying, will you?
Trying to be the best podcast we knew how to be. Wait a minute. I know that
I've heard
speech.
That before.
That's from the Nerdist Writers panel. How do we not have a soap dish podcast yet?
We could like literally have a soap dish podcast where we just analyze every scene.
Yeah,
like, I like the scene Celeste. I like the fringe on her robe. It really matched her turban.
Yes, please sign me up. Every single scene. It'll be a season of like 37 podcasts.
It'll be that and Big Business.
I think we just found our new podcast, Vin.
Big Soap Dish.
Big Soap Dish.
I don't, there's a lot. A lot to choose from.
The color soap dish. Because you know I'll go back for the color purple, too.
Well, I still haven't seen the color.
Train.
I know. I've got to watch
train.
It.
You'll get on the
train. Everyone is in my ear to watch The Color Purple. It's like it's actually starting to surpass Game of Thrones people.
Well, I'm glad Portia didn't see it because she would say, guess what? I'm going to invent a color called purple. Because Portia comes up with ideas that are right in front of her already. She's like a goldfish. She's like, I've got an idea. Flaky food. It's like you're a goldfish. You see flaky food every day, bitch. So she starts by going with her doctor and her mom and sister to Beautiful You, which is, you know, where you get wraps, and it's a beauty place. And
oh,
she
I
walks
thought it was
out
a place
of there
where
deciding
she...
she's going to open like a beauty salon.
I love it when, like, my joke, it takes, like, a second for it to, like, you're like, I am just going to finish reading the line of my note. And they're like, wait a second, Ben said a joke.
Oh, what did you say? I didn't even hear you.
I thought you were laughing at my joke. Beautiful You, I said, I thought it was a place for sheep.
She probably would spell it like that.
The man is a you and the woman is a me.
She's giving the you a contract.
You own 99% of baby me. You will have to pay for 99% of baby me, even if I never call you the daddy of baby me.
So they're at this spa, Beautiful You. And it's where you turn your ewes beautiful.
I'm pretty.
They also welcome llamas and alpacas if you have them. Which is appropriate because Portia's there. And so she's like, a lot of people see me and say, oh, she just woke up like that. And I'm like, I never actually think that, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's ever said that. Ever.
Yeah. I also want to say that I was working on my Portia impersonation last night, and I'm glad to say it has all escaped me now. I'll be like, Portia speaks like this. Wait, where'd that come from?
I have decided to lock it down when it comes to new friends. Wait a minute.
It is just me and my sister. And my mother. No new friends.
The one consistent thing in my life is going to be my family. Yes, Portia, we know. Did Portia take an improv class where she got to get the who, what, and where out in the first 5 seconds of every single scene?
She's like, I'm Portia. I'm hot. I live in a house with my family because they're the most consistent thing in my life.
Okay, Portia.
She is very much like in the pilot episode of a new sitcom, right? Like, so this is the situation. We're all living together because no new friends. See, I told you my Portia voice is crazy today. She's like, my name is Portia.
Yeah, but she is in a new sitcom. She's like, we're going to get a body wrap. I like when the doctor talks like this. She's like, the mom's, they're going to get the body wrap first. You know, those like zombie wraps. Yeah. And the mom's like, I thought I was going to lay down and wake up. Like, I didn't know I had to exercise because she's making him get on a treadmill. And the doctor's like, well, you must be active for the wrap to work. It will take out water, waste. It just pauses as they're all staring at her. Portia, we're waiting to see what Portia says, and she's like, "Can I get a Beyonce cap?"
She wraps herself up like a mummy, and then her butt is like dangling out, like it's like coming through the wraps. I was like, "See, this is why the mummy extended universe thing failed for Universal, right?" Like, because this is the mummy that we would have wanted. Okay, not the Tom Cruise mummy. We want Portia mummy.
Brains, damn it. The only thing that's consistent in my life is my family's brains.
My sister moved into my pyramid. Sphinx? Why you always got a real Sphinx?
Well, they're talking. She's just mad at the Sphinx.
Ooh, Sphinx got a nose job.
Catacomb my hair.
It's like her little Porsche beauty shop in there.
Come in here for a catacomb.
I'm opening up a new salon called Pharaoh's.
That's not even a play on words.
So?
My sister is... I'm the body and my sister is the backbone.
Honey, I don't know what you're trying to say, but please keep trying to say it. I'm obsessed with Portia. I don't care what anybody says. She cracks me up. She's like,
I look forward to us building the Portia Empire.
Yeah, good luck. It's You've like only tried on it hair. Every single season. Yeah.
Clip-on hair, some bad lingerie, and then a bunch of naked pictures on Instagram. I don't know what that's going to bring you, but I'm here for it.
Maybe she will follow in the footsteps of Sonia Tremont Morgan, who just today unveiled an app. Did you see this?
I saw on Instagram yesterday that she posted coming tomorrow, and then it's just a picture of her in lingerie. I was like, what's coming tomorrow?
She's coming tomorrow. No, but she released an app. I saw it on Instagram. I was like, what is this? I was like, should I download this and talk about this like on a bonus episode? But I decided to cool it. But basically, it's like... it's basically Sonia's version of Retail Me Not. It's like, here are my favorite discount codes, you know? And the reason why I didn't download it is because to sort of use the app, you have to create an account. And I just was not in the mood this morning. I'm not going to give my email over to Sonia just yet. So, but I was just like, what sort of discounts does Sonia get? And like, I just like that she came out with like a coupon app.
Well, you know, Sonia's like Portia. She'll do whatever's right in front of her face. And Tinsley was dating that coupon guy. So maybe she was like, I want a coupon app. Why not?
That's what I think. That's how I think she's done. She's Sonia discounts. I guess that's sort of like, maybe it's her version of guilt, but this one has a U in it. Like a sheep. It's literally like Sonia and a sheep.
Well, she can't do things too close to home. Like, who needs an app like Fix My Walls? Here's an app to give me money to get the mold out of my walls. Thanks for coming.
I would like an app called Task Sonia, and she comes over. You're like, I need to mount my TV, and she comes over with a glass of Prosecco. Hi, what's going on? This is a great wall. What are you gonna do with it?
John, well, I thought you were here to TV.
My John, we used to watch TV all that. We were just watching Law and Order yesterday. So, well, I thought you were here to mount the TV, Sonia. Oh, no, don't be ridiculous. I'm just here to watch.
Who am I going to mount? Just as she gets, like, drunker and drunker.
Her app is basically inviting her over so that way she can watch the TaskRabbit. You have to actually use TaskRabbit, too, with Sonia, Task Sonia.
Or maybe it could just be, like, the highest bidder. Whoever has hot water, Sonia will come over to take a hot shower for once. So Portia tells her mom,
you look like some wrapped hot dogs. Lauren is more extra. She don't have no meat. You need some installation, honey.
I'm like, installation? I love you, Portia.
Yeah.
I have a feeling you get plenty installed, Portia. Okay.
A lot of fiberglass.
Yes. A lot of fizz.
So then we go over to Sheree and her daughter. They're at a place called Clothing Warehouse because Sheree is going to be throwing a 70th birthday for her mom. And in honor of the 70th birthday, it's going to be 70 themed. So she and her kids are going to find their 70s clothes.
It's like on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills where they're like, let's go on a shopping spree to buy Ken a diamond watch for $90 million. Except not at all like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Their bill is like $300. And Sheree's like, what did we get?
I thought it was like I thought it was like 3,500. I thought she said 3,495 or 3,495.
He said 30,411. I thought that meant 100.
I mean, ooh, I think you're right.
Wigs.
I think you're right. 30,411. Yeah, you might be right.
Now, you know that this is going to be a disaster because Sheree and party planners, that's not good.
Yeah, they don't have a good track record. And they were sure to remind us of that with a great rewind flashback to Sheree and her party planner from season two.
We didn't get enough of Velma in this episode. It's a Velma episode. I wanted Velma all over the place, and we only got her really on the phone, right? I mean, we saw her a little at the end, but...
Is Velma... Who's Velma?
Velma's Sheree's mom.
Oh, I thought her name was Thelma.
Oh, I write down I could Velma.
I don't know. You could be right. Who
oh
knows?
God.
Either
who
way,
knows,
it rhymes with
Velma. Thank God you don't come here for facts, because it could be just $300 or $3,000. It could be Thelma or Velma. Like, who knows?
You know, it's like a parallel universe. Like, either Sheree spent a lot of money for Thelma, or she spent not a lot for Velma.
I just like that Jack Kay is playing her daughter.
Like, ooh, mama,
I got... I like that Cairo Velma is still hot.
Who? Oh, yeah, Cairo. Yeah, Cairo shows off his hotness a lot in this. And,
yeah,
you know,
good for him.
He's good at saving his mom money. He doesn't buy a shirt.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Speaking of hotness, we then go to Cynthia, who's on a date with Will, who's like a faux Vin Diesel.
Did you hear all that coughing, or did that mute button work?
I didn't hear the coughing, but I heard like a sound, which I didn't
that was
know.
The laughing part.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't. I'm sorry that the mere mention of the transition to Cynthia like elicits such a coughing fit in you. I'm like, moving on to Cynthia, you're like...
Cynthia, another fake date. Now, I don't know what Cynthia thinks she's trying to do over here, but she is with some of the cheesiest guys I've ever fucking seen. This one, she met at her party, and someone... Who set her up? Oh, she said, one of my Bailey boys set me up, child. She says,
I think that
now.
She's actually dating this guy, to be honest.
Oh, she is?
Because I went onto his Instagram, and he has a picture with Noelle from like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, Cynthia, this guy is such a cheese ball.
Yes, but he's hot, and she deserves a hot piece of ass. And, you know, he's already better than Peter, so, you know, she's moving in the right direction.
I guess. To me, he's Mama Joyce without the wig. He looks just like her, and if you look at him closely, you will see it, I'm telling you.
You know what's actually hilarious about that, Ronnie? I wrote down that he has Candy Burris mouth, which is essentially saying that he is Mama Joyce. That's hilarious. He has Candy's face, or at least his Candy's mouth. He 100% has Candy's mouth. It's agreed. Candy's mouth is Mama Joyce's mouth, basically, right?
Yeah, they're just different. I was looking through screenshots online or the Google image search of Mama Joyce just to get like an apt picture, but no one will just take a normal picture of Mama Joyce. It's always when she's like furious, like half her mouth is like twisted all the way down.
Who'd have thought that Mama Joyce would make such a hot man?
Oh my God. I'm creeped out. He's so cheesy. Like, whoever set them up, he came up to her at her birthday apparently and got on the mic and he's like, "You are one of the best presents on the menu of life," or whatever. I was like,
yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, he was like, he's like, "I'm sorry, I'm not on the menu, so you can't eat me up." And she's like, "Oh, child.
Yes, you are the cheese tray."
What bothers me about this guy is that he's a liar, because he's like, Cynthia's like, "So you ever model anything like that?" He's like, "No, never did it. I just got out of school and just decided to go into business. I just have my mind in business. I'm just a businessman." You go onto his Instagram, it's like a million modeling photos.
Yes, that is not a businessman. I didn't even go on his Instagram, and I could tell that right away, because he's doing that thing where he knows how to work a lady, you know?
Yeah.
She's like, "I'm thinking of the lamb chop lollipops, child." And he's like... "Now, stop trying to be like me, sexy lady, because I'm thinking of the lollipops, too." No, you weren't. You were not. And then she says, she's like, "What's your sign, child?" And he's like, "I'm a Capricorn, child. I also like saying child after everything, just like you, child." And she's like, "Well, can you handle the Capricorn? Oh, no, he goes, can you handle the Capricorn? Look, my best friend is my little sister. She's a Capricorn. Those people are not hard to handle. They're like some of the nicest people in the world. I've never met a difficult Capricorn.
I don't really know the differences between any of the signs. I just know that all signs point to yes, no with this guy. As in, yes, you should bang him. No, he's not good for you long term. Yes, he's probably going to go to jail soon for fraud.
Yes, he's like a magic eight ball from Target.
He really is a hot magic eight ball. See, it made me think about Hot Todd, you know, because Todd was just hot. He's just hot and cute. Whereas this guy's like, he knows he's hot and he's acting all charming. And it's like, ugh, like, stop and saying he's saying he doesn't model, etc.
Yeah, shut up.
It's
we
annoying.
Don't believe you. Also, a Capricorn, I looked it up. Capricorn is a sign that represents time and responsibility, and its representatives are traditional and often very serious by nature. So yes, Will, I think she can handle a Capricorn. Can you handle all this responsibility and on-timedness? Yes, Will.
Jury's still out because he is still very hot, and I want Cynthia to have someone really hot. She was in Peter jail for like 9 years, and she deserves hot Vin Diesel.
No, Cynthia
liberation.
Deserves prison for making us watch her give Peter a hand job on national television. That will never ever be forgiven in my mind. Never.
Well, no, she'll get the prison with this guy because he will ultimately be unfaithful and wind up using her money. And be not emotionally satisfying. So she will get her comeuppance, but she will also get her reward too, which is what she deserves as well.
Which is Will. Okay, this guy, look, she goes, tell me about you, child. And he's like, well, I had my daughter when I was 30, and she's a daddy's girl. I would show you pictures, but I don't carry my cell phone on dates. I'm like, really? Come on. You don't bring your cell phone on dates? You know why? Because yeah. It's got GPS in it. He's probably on parole or something.
It's probably because it was like a Motorola Razr and he hasn't updated in 9 years. I banged a woman in the AT&T store. That's how I got my daughter. That's how I got my phone.
You just don't want her to see your Cricket wireless phone. I've just never heard that. I don't bring my phone on dates.
It's one of those things that's it's just like too intentionally. It's not that it's perfect. It's just it's contrived. It's contrived. And it bothers me. And then Cynthia's like, oh, he's like the male version of me. I'm like, oh, did he bring a kitchen island along too? He's like, I love taking baths by the pool on Lake Will. Oh, my God. Just like me, child.
And then he ends with the same. He ends with it cheesy, too. He's like, here's to a friendship that's been created over meat lollipops. No matter what happens from now on, we're friends forever. How am I supposed to be your friend if you don't even carry your cell phone?
Exactly. I would actually be turned on if he brought his cell phone and was like, hey, can we take a pause to like check Instagram? I'd be like, woo. You know, that being said, as much shade as we're throwing this guy, I mean, something, I think one of life's great pleasures is if when you're on a date with someone who is just like really like hot or something and they are flirting heavily with you and they're like laying on that charm and you know, you're like, oh, this person's full of shit. I know, but it feels really good. It's a great feeling.
I don't know. I always think they're trying to steal. Like if anybody's that over the top charming, I'm like, what do you want to steal from me? Just take it. I don't have anything. Like, what are you going to steal? Like my old TV remote? Like I literally have to. Here's my water bottle that I use every day that says Ronnie from Watch What Crappens. Okay, take that. Take you with it for a walk. You'll bring him back eventually. Just take him.
Oh. Back in my dating days, every now and then, you know, you sort of wind up with someone who I was like, I feel like you're way out of like you're way out of my league. I should not be dating you. And the fact that you're being flirted with me right now, I'm like, whoo, you know, so that's what I'm giving to Cynthia. Except the thing is that Cynthia is a supermodel. So really, she's out of everyone's league.
Yes. Oh, sorry. I just dropped a cord on my water jug and it went boom, boom. It's like, whoa, time to sing.
Stomp.
So next up is Nene's house. Okay, I don't know if Nene didn't get her house furnished yet because, you know, Nene's in trouble with the tax people. So I don't know what her deal is, but she's like, woohoo, I couldn't get any hotter nailed to my damn brain. It is so hot. I'm about to sweat. I need to get naked out of this mofo.
Like go inside. That's my thought too. I'm like, why are you not filming in the air conditioning? Go inside. And poor Greg, he's literally like falling apart. He's like, ooh, it's hot. I think I'm about to pass out on account of my heart troubles and like the miniature strokes I've been having. She's like, Greg, just stay out here. I'm like, let him go inside.
Mini strokes, like he putt-putt all of a sudden. And Nene's ring.
That was good.
I've been with Greg since his 20s, and the secret is still being attracted to each other, honey. Because her thing is saying honey now after every single line. She goes, without Greg, what would I do? Who's going to cut the grass? Who's going to clean the pool? Who do I pay the lights and gas to?
Who's going to come walking over when I say Greg?
And then Brent comes out. And she goes, Greg, can you believe you produced something that big? This is my favorite Nene.
Yeah. So Brent comes over and he's going to go to the store or something.
He got caught shoplifting. This scene is so awkward on so many levels.
He got caught shoplifting?
Yeah. Oh, not Greg. Well, Brent.
Yeah.
Wasn't Brent the one who got caught shoplifting at Walmart and got in trouble?
No, I thought that was Nene's other son.
That's not nice of me. Hold on,
Brent. It's okay. She has two sons. It's easy to get sons confused. Brent is the good kid. Brent is like the sweet, adorable Brent that we've seen grow up before our eyes. And I was like, please let there be a Brent growing up montage. And there was.
Oh, it's all so I wanted. Cute.
It's all I wanted. Brent with an extra T.
Yeah, Bryson.
Bryson is the one who's in trouble.
Bryson was arrested for shoplifting. I'm sorry, Brent.
No, Brent's the good kid, although he wants to get into comedy and acting, so who knows.
And also, I think he has two T's at the end of his name.
He does.
Brentita.
He keeps the extra T for savings. So
everyone sounds nervous calling him off the list at the DMV. They're like, Brentita? He's like, don't be afraid. It's not me that shoplifted. It's my brother. Oh, sorry.
So Greg is like, he's like, Frank's like, can you get me a dessert while you're out? And Nene just sort of, this is really funny. I don't know why it made me laugh so much. She's like, Greg has been on this planet a lot longer than I have, honey. So who am I to keep him from a dessert? I was like, that was actually like, the idea of like, he just wants like a cupcake. Brent, get him a cupcake.
She's like, if you go out and I text you, you better answer your text, honey. Okay. I don't know what these men can't answer a text. I can send the text. I can see the text. They get the text. I see them see the text. I see them get the text. They can't even do the text. Text.
I go to Texas and they don't do a text. They don't give a text there in Texas. I go to the text and I'm like reading a book. I was like, well, you have textbooks in the textbook aisle? There's no textbooks, just regular books. I'm like, where do I get the text? I need to read a text from my textbook and I'm going to send a text about the text. I'm like, Nene, whoa. I read that to her. She's mentioned text like 45 times in the span of 7 seconds.
What's a lie? Is they told me I was going to be an empty nester. This nest ain't empty. Except for the furniture that was probably retaken out of your house. Except for the Jennifer leather sofas that were repossessed before you got this scene in the 110 heat.
I'm like, technically you're outside, so your nest is kind of empty at the moment. Yeah. So Nene says that Brent is going to try his hand at comedy. Since Nene's been doing a stand-up tour... which has, I think, unceremoniously come to an end recently, that Brent has been helping out with that, and now he wants to try his hand at comedy and the acting world, which I think is great. I don't know. I feel like maybe there are other things he could do first.
Yeah.
Like college or something.
Yeah. I'm not really sure about that, but I know he got a spot at some hotel, like some casino hotel or something. They were like,
did he?
Brent Leakes tonight. I think it was one of those appearance fee things where they're like, do you want to come to this party? Brent's going to be here. Huh. I don't know.
Well, listen, if he's funny,
he was just showing up there. I don't even know.
Listen, if he's funny, then by all means, I just feel like it was sort of like a strange turn because we never saw Brent being like funny or anything, you know, or
yeah,
like
we never
being
got
to
see
a
his awkward,
performative.
Like, yeah. Stand up storyline on the Housewives.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, he wants to go into comedy and because he sees his mom doing it. And like, I don't know. I guess I'll just wait to see. Prove me wrong, Brent. Prove me wrong.
And if you ever steal your mom's jokes, just don't take the Uber rape one, okay?
Yeah. Just a tip from one old comedy queen to another. Stay away from rape. Rape jokes, they don't work so well.
Yeah, stay away from Uber rapes.
Yeah.
So over at
Candy Factory. Candy and Todd show up. Todd was wearing his Yankees hat extra tall to make himself. Like, he's really striving for those inches.
Yeah, he's, like, putting pumps under the hat now. He used to wear them right on top, and now he's wearing, like, Burt Reynolds pumps under the hat to where they're above his head.
He, like, essentially has, like, a glass pole that's, like, goes from his belt to, like, above his head, and he just dangles the hat from the pole.
He's got some magnets on his head. And then magnets on his hat facing the other way, so they're all, like, resisting each other.
His hat is secretly a drone, and it's just programmed to follow him exactly. It's just, like, floating way up high.
He's like, my hat just got back from the desert. It was on a mission. Now, they're going into a meeting, and he tells Candy, "You are too blessed to be stressed." Wasn't that Porsche's line at one point?
Yeah, I think that's why he said it.
Stressed and too full of shit to be thirsty.
I don't remember what.
Too much of a mummy to be a dummy.
Yeah, I think that's why he was saying it. I think he was shading Porsche.
I don't get any of this Porsche shade, okay? You have to be very literal. You have to say, look, I'm about to shade Phaedra or Porsche. And then I'll laugh. But as a sarcastic person, I really don't understand sarcasm very well. I never get it.
Really? I thought you totally got it.
Ben hates me. So, let's see here. Go ahead. Oh, they're talking about how...
Basically, Carmen, who is Candy's assistant, is she is stepping down from her role to open up an insurance agency, which is really, you know, very exciting. It's going to be like the East Coast branch of Coto Insurance.
I don't know, but watch out because Candy's an investor. You know, in business, Candy is not going to fuck around.
Yeah, that's true, too.
But maybe that's why they're showing Carmen more, so she can fight with Candy next season.
Yeah, exactly.
Phaedra can represent her.
This is all a way to say that Candy needs a new assistant, and she's once bitten, twice shy after the whole Johnny fiasco from last season.
And Don Juan's like, I'm the last of the Mohicans. Please, I wish you were one of the last of the Mohicans. That movie would have been so much more entertaining.
I actually never saw it. I never saw it, which is funny because I try to see all of Madeline Stowe's work. But
just
unfortunately,
Don Juan with Madeline Stowe. He'd be like, bitch!
Bitch, I'm not gonna be the last one of us. Oh shit, I'm the last one of us.
It just ends with him beheading Phaedra. Just kidding, it's not a spoiler alert. I forgot how it ended because I slept through the last of the Mohicans. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe,
well, I never saw
the first of the Mohicans. Something less depressing. Okay.
Yeah. How about the origin story for the last of the Mohicans? How about, like, hey, we're here, the Mohican story. Mohicans have arrived. Ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived.
So they corn, try...
maize, silhouettes. Sorry.
So they try and do a...
C'est la vie.
C'est la vie. Mohican. Mohican. Yeah, they ran during C'est la vie at the Mohican Sun. The Mohican Sun.
Well, that's Mohican.
Yeah, Mohican. It's like, what? Am I in the wrong movie?
Chic, c'est le tipi. C'est bon. C'est bon.
I've been hired to perform at the Last Mohegan. They're like, wait a minute. That's the Last Mohegan. Okay, it's an Indian casino. Oh, well, sue me for living.
I spelled that S-I-O-U-X.
I come from the Sioux Indians. S-U-E. No. What, my grandmother was Sioux. It's my grandmother's name. No, still doesn't count.
Oh my goodness.
So
I drive a Jeep Grand Cherokee.
So they try and get in a little cross promotion here. And he's like, Carmen's going to insurance. You're going back to escape. How is that going, by the way? And I was like, FF.
How is that spinoff going that airs right after this? Anyway, Candy.
She's like, just like a random honk because I didn't even listen.
Yeah.
So what else happened?
So now Candy starts talking about Kenya's wedding. And because they're like, did you speak to Kenya after that wedding thing? Was that even real? And she goes, I reached out to her and was like, did you get married? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, what? Yes, she got married. And I was like, what? And I was like, Riley, did you see that? Kenya got married. Riley, see now. Come in.
She's like, they got married on an island.
And then suddenly, like, a fax comes out of her mouth. She's like, Riley.
You are now signed on to America Online.
Candy Online.
Like, the only one with an address still is my Meemaw. It's like Meemaw@AOL.com.
See? Now you got mail.
See? Now you got mail that you won't tell me whose name it is. Meemaw.
Now, was there a wedding invitation? Because see? Now I didn't get one.
I like when she said, it's on an island. And Todd goes, that don't count.
It don't work that way.
It doesn't work. It doesn't count if you get married on an island. So funny. And Don Juan's like, did she get a prenup? I love that he's like so angry about everything all the time.
Oh, all the time.
Yes.
I'm telling you, he is very Tom of Tom and Jerry. Assuming that Tom is the cat, because I can never tell which one is which.
Yeah, I think Jerry's the little mouse.
Yeah, he is the cat from Tom and Jerry. I mean, you do side by side. It's like... It's there. He is a cartoon cat who's chasing a mouse and having things fall on his head.
So they start telling him that she can't go because she has a condition. And he's like, the same one from that mental institution? And she's like, no, she's got a new letter this time, Carmen. Like, she's got a new letter. This one says her leg's got to be elevated. And he just starts dancing around the room laughing. And then Candy gets her shade in. She's like, now... I'm sure if there was an African there waiting to hook up with you, you'd be there. Which yeah. is some African whore shaming from the blog stuff the past couple of years that were saying that Portia and or Kenya were really just kind of high class hookers for all these African billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to thank you, Internet, for that piece of possibly not even true information.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, basically, Candy's like, see, nah, I bought my ticket. It was $5,000. So, and I like the way she sort of said it, like, yeah, I bought mine, and it was $5,000. She can pay it. She can afford $5,000.
It's not even afford to me. It's like, why would I pay $5,000 for the plane ticket for your wedding? Because, you know, on top of that, you're going to be spending $7,000. Who asks their friends to do that?
Well, she doesn't have to fly first class, also, by the way. She can go coach.
That's
and
true.
No, admittedly, it'd still She's be expensive.
Very sick. She's very ill, okay?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
She's got the same disease as that my left foot guy.
What was deep vein thrombosis?
I don't even know. I'm just with her on this.
I never saw my left foot either. I mean, are we just going to go through all the Daniel Day-Lewis movies of this podcast? Should we talk about In the Name of the Father? Like,
another
and then
one.
Kenya went on a hunger strike, and then Portia was like, "I'm falsely imprisoned."
She's like, "This is no country for old men. I'll tell you that." Hey, I'm gonna open a retirement village. I don't know where I got that idea.
That I believe you're thinking of There Will Be Blood, which came out the same year as No Country for Old Men.
Well, which one was No Country for Old Men?
That was. With Josh Brolin and what's his face? Spanish actor with a scary haircut.
Oh, yeah.
No, There Will Be Blood. Like, yeah.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it. I drink 85% of the milkshake because that's what I put my heart into that milkshake. I drink your milkshake.
I'm going to come up with a milkshake brand.
I had a dream for a salon where you get a milkshake that's wrapped like a mummy.
I'm going to call this salon Salon Me.
It's like, that's salami.
No, Salon Me. I don't want
to. Salami. All right, salami. But I'm a baby vegan. Ah!
The Porsche Empire is crumbling. I'm going to open a business for crumble cakes.
So then we go over to Kenya, who's like, why does it smell like pee in my closet? I'm like, well, you're either having a stroke or it's just another day at your house. I'm like, Matt is probably hiding in there, and he's been there for 3 days waiting for you to come into the closet.
I'm just waiting. I'm going to pounce on her. I'm going to pounce on her. I love her so much.
You did this to me.
You manipulated me. You manipulated me.
So poor Kenya having to shoot scenes with her dogs. I mean, it's sad at this point. We're only in episode 3 of the season, and it's already sad. She's like, are you mad that mommy didn't take you to Moore Manor wedding, Moore? I'm married. I'm like, oh, my God, even your dogs don't care. And the dog peed on her wedding dress because she didn't have an employee that day, I guess, and just left it sitting out in her gigantic closet, guest room closet.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. How about, like, you close your closet doors?
Yeah, and how about stop comparing yourself to Game of Crowns? She's like, is this like Game of Crowns where...
Thrones. I would like it if she... Thrones, you mean. Game of Crowns. If she compared herself to Game of Crowns... That would be amazing. Yes.
But yes, Game of Thrones is basically about which king is going to... get the ultimate right to pee on somebody's wedding dress.
God damn it. I have to watch Game of Thrones only so I can start making good references on this podcast. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm sorry.
Well, you can't say anything anyway because it's all spoilers on that show, because you say one person died and people get mad at you. It's like, that was season one. But, you know, those shows you save until you're old and have, I don't know, some old disease where you're sitting around all the time catching up on stuff you never watched the first time around.
I could have watched it yesterday. You know, like, I woke up, I got a McGriddle for breakfast, and then I sat in my apartment all day long playing a video game on my phone. Like, that's the time I could have been watching Game of Thrones, and I'm playing Dragon Quest VIII.
I was sitting here last night, and I was thinking about that time you told me Uber had McDonald's, and then I ordered McDonald's just because it was in my head. And even the memory of you saying that and me ordering it made me order McDonald's from Uber. I ate McDonald's yesterday as well, is my point. While I was taking notes on this.
You know, I had the McGriddle, and it was so good. And you know what? The night before, I have a real problem now. We have a real situation on my hands. I'm sorry, everyone. This is a tangent. Okay. If you don't like tangents, hold your horses. It won't be long, but it needs to be said. Now that I've moved, my local supermarket, even though I still want to go to Sprouts more, the one that's really close by that I have to get something in a pinch is the Pavilions. And there's an in-store Panda Express. And it's just going to be a test of wills. And I've already failed, because you show up at the supermarket and the entire parking lot just smells like delectable Chinese food, which is like one of my favorite smells. And then you go in there, and I'm like, I'm going to get some spinach to make myself a little salad. And then you're like, that the smell comes into your nose. It's like, and all of a sudden, like, next thing I know, I'm like checking out at the Panda Express thing with like a bag full of egg rolls and like orange chicken. I'm like waking up from my fugue state. Like, what did I just do? That's so good. So good.
That's ridiculous.
It could be a problem. It could be a problem.
And you know how I looked up Nini Sen shoplifting a little while ago? That browser window is still up next to my notes. And it says, unhappy meal, Nini Leek's son arrested at McDonald's. You guys, I feel like the world is conspiring against us today.
It's all, I kind of want to have a week where I just eat nothing but fast food and just like be okay with it.
Yeah, okay. I've done that before.
Yeah, it's called my trip to Arizona last year. So, so now back to Kenya. So Kenya calls up her husband, Mark. And I don't know if you noticed this, but the chyron on the bottom of the screen was so shady. It goes like, it says on the phone, Mark/baby's voicemail.
Now, this was amazing. She's like, I'm used to haters, but Mark isn't. And it's my job to protect my family. And Mark is my family. Hi, Mark. It's me. I miss you so much, baby. Let's talk, because he won't answer the phone. She's talking to his voicemail. Beep. Message erased.
He's pre-erasing her voicemails.
He's got one of those apps where he sees her recording, and you can listen while they're recording. He's just like, end. And so she tries again. She's like, we see each other every other weekend, and we talk day and night. Beep. Hi, Mark. It is so surreal we are in this place together as a couple that is in love together with each other. Beep. Too long.
Hey, Mark. King peed on the wedding dress I bought for myself to that time. I said, we're going to get married, and then you forgot to show up. And I was like, whatever, I'll Photoshop you in anyway. Beep. If you would like to try again, press star.
And then she started one where she's like, in 6 months, I never saw this day coming. Beep. You never saw what day coming? You're sitting alone in your house talking to your dogs that just pissed all over your fucking wedding dress, Kenya. Okay.
The honeymoon phase is so wonderful. So wonderful.
So good. Oh, my God. And I love that the T-Mobile voicemail lady hates her ass.
I still have lingerie left over from the honeymoon. Beep.
That's what every man wants. Leftover lingerie.
Exactly, that your dog may have peed on, just got pee shrapnel. So then we then go over to Sheree, who's tasting food for the big party, and she's like, yay, food. I don't know what happened in the scene. She just ate
really
food
nothing.
And was like...
She was just talking. She's like, we're going to have a 70s party, and I want everyone in a 70s wig. We're going to get a 24-inch disco ball. It's on hold. People are going to be blown away. It's like, buy a disco ball? You know, 24-inch disco ball is not that big, right? Also, people are not going to be blown away. Just get one of those little things from Gadzooks. It's like the spinning light, you know, the spinning disco lights or whatever. Be done with it.
I got one of those when I was a kid. I bought it off of, I may have gotten it off of Hemmer Schlemmer. It's one of the rare things that was like less than $3,000. It was like a... $12. Oh, no. You know what? I take it back. I did not get it from Hemmer Schlemmer. I think I got it from Spencer's. Yeah. Spencer's. Oh. It was like, yeah. But it was one of those things, like light spun around, and I would make like disco lights in my bedroom. Yeah. Early signs. I was gay. Early signs.
And very fancy that you had to get like a brand name one. You're like one of those girls who used to go on trips and come back from Christmas in junior high with like a Tiffany keychain.
Oh, I thought you said braids because they went to the Caribbean.
No, just trying to be fancy. They're like, look at my Tiffany keychain. It's like, we're in junior high. We don't even have keys. Like, what,
mine was
one house key?
No, mine was definitely not fancy. And I would turn off all the lights in my bedroom and play Can't Let Go by Mariah Carey and turn that thing on. Because, you know, Can't Let Go has that amazing opening where it's like, whoa, whoa. And I was like, it's amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Other people who can't let go regarding Mariah Carey, Kathy Griffin, still going. You see it.
What is Kathy Griffin doing now?
She released that thing. She's like, hey, it's the mayor. Don't give a fuck town or whatever. I got a letter from someone who said Andy was sexually inappropriate with them when he was in college. I was like, oh, my God.
Kathy, what are you doing?
Yeah, she released this long letter. And people are like, is this supposed to be about sexual assault? Because it's not. Like, I don't know what you're trying to do. And then in one of the tabloids in the UK, they were like, oh, yeah, Kathy Griffin's going to try and start about terrible one-night stands. This man says he had a horrifying one-night stand. Oh, my God. And the guy's like, she wanted me to punch her in the face or something. I mean, it's just messy. It's very, very messy.
She needs to just rein it in because this is not a good look. Okay, Kathy, we all are rooting for you, but this is not – we can't get behind. Here's the thing. I think we don't care about the Andy Cohen stuff at this point. We just don't care.
I mean, spent time on it, but I just had to update people who hadn't heard because it is hilarious. Rein it in, ring it out, and shut the fuck up, lady. Okay, just keep being funny. Stop with this.
Yes. So then we go to Portia and Lauren. They are meeting with a guy named Eric. And as Portia describes Eric,
Eric is the person I go to when I have these big ideas.
I'm like, what are the big ideas? It's like ordering an Arnold Palmer.
Ooh, Eric, I'm going to get an Arnold Palmer.
What if we mix iced tea and lemonade?
That's already invented.
Pink lemonade, then.
Okay, we're on it. It's like Shark Tank.
He's just like, oh my goodness, like clearly his like cousin's father is a friend of Portia's and he has to do like just show up and like endure this meeting.
Yeah, she's like,
I want like maybe a box or something, and then when you sit in it, it takes you places.
They're like, that's a car.
No, I know that.
A train?
No. Different.
A bus?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, there's already buses.
Damn it!
What if we spelled it backwards and like put it in the water?
It's like, yeah, those exist too. Subs.
I didn't say a sandwich shop.
So Erica, she tells him about the emu cleaning place, and Erica was like, "Well, how do we differentiate your lamb wash from other lamb washes?"
She's like, "This will be me. It's gonna be me.
This will be mine."
He's like, "Okay, so there'll be many health code violations. Got it. It will be the one that has the D on it."
So they're like, "How much do you want to spend on rent?" She's like,
$10,000.
And someone wrote on Facebook, "Yet she can't spend the $5,000 to get a damn first class ticket."
Exactly. And she's like,
"See, what I want to do is I want to get a consultant and like have a consultant do it."
They're like, "Yes, please. That's a great idea. Please, a consultant. Yes, yes, yes." And then she's like,
"And I want to have it ready next week."
I was like, no.
But Joe Gorga did it.
No, well, it's different.
Well, his food does taste like a box of hair, but still.
He's like,
"You can't just start like other businesses just because they also have a D in the window, okay?"
He's like, "Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. It'll probably take 9 months." She's like, "What? Who said that?
Hola. Who said that?
Hola. I feel like I'm starting to get my Porsche voice back. I say hola, I start to get in the zone.
I think every time we do that, somewhere in the world, Hoda just pops up her head. Like,
hoda.
She just pops up from her drunken stupor like, "Huh? No, Hoda, not you. Go back to bed." So they're explaining permits to her. And they're like, "Well, it takes a while to get permits. Also, if you're still not talking to Phaedra, I mean, she can make that shit take 10 years. Don't piss Phaedra off when she knows so many people at City Hall, okay? We saw what
That's
she
right.
did to Candy."
Yeah, exactly. So then once the guys leave, Lauren and Portia start fighting, because Lauren doesn't like the way that Portia keeps saying, like, it's my company. Well, for my salon. And Lauren's like, we're co-owners. And then all this stuff starts to unravel or starts to fall out of her mouth about how, basically she doesn't really like working for Portia. She doesn't get paid enough. She gets paid for like little sister wages, but not like real wages, etc. And Portia's like,
"Well, I have this vision of us owning a salon together."
And she's like, "Well, then why is it 85% you and 50% me?" And she's like,
"Because I have to put my credit on the line. I put my reputation in it. I put my money in it. What are you putting in it?" And she's like,
"I'm putting my life on the line for it." I'm like, "I don't know whose side to take right now, because you're both being ridiculous.
You're both ridiculous. You should get probably a bigger percentage of that, I would guess."
Well, I mean, if Portia is putting in most of the money, then yeah, then it does make sense that she has more ownership. But I don't know. But then at the same time, I sort of imagine Lauren's probably doing more of the work. And so finally they're fighting, and Lauren's like, "You know, my whole life is about you, and like, I don't want that anymore. And like, you know, like then let's separate our jobs. I'm fine to separate it where it's like, I'll work for the salon. I'm not going to work for you." And then Portia just starts to get, she just starts going,
We will.
I'm like, the poor girls at the next table on their laptops are like, "Oh my God, she's broken.
For her to say I don't help her, fucking bitch, it hurts me beyond.
It's like, "Oh my God, someone slap her. Please, slap the back of her fucking head."
We will.
All right, now let's get to a girl and a child battle, because it's Nene and Cynthia talking in Nene's kitchen. It's like, "Oh, it's a kitchen child. Girl, I didn't know what to expect coming up here, child."
Yeah, they're gathered around the kitchen island. So Cynthia's in a safe place.
Safe space. So Nene basically says that Greg is sick, and he's always sick, but this time he was in tears, and she sent him to the hospital, basically. And Cynthia's like, oh no, does he have tingling, child? And she's like, yes, girl, he's got tingling. She's like, shooting pains, child? Yes, girl, he's got shooting pains. Like, child.
Yeah. So then they start talking about Will, and Nini approves of Will. She's like, I like that he's very nice to your friends.
Cynthia's like, you know what? I didn't even see him coming, child. You know, that's also what people say about murderers, okay? This guy is creepy, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, I just want to date. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm just dating. I'm like, I bet her next date is going to be Matt with like a mustache and a monocle, being like, good day to you, madame. My name is Mathieu from Paris, France.
It's just Mr. Peanut.
Yeah, he's got a cane.
I'm curiously strong. No, that's Altoids.
He didn't even bring his cell phone on the date. Peanuts don't have cell phones, okay, Cynthia?
What is this cell phone? I've just learned about electricity.
That's Matt doing Mr. Peanut.
So Sheree over at her party is like, this disco ball needs wire. It needs to be plugged in. Did you know that? And keep an eye out for security. I'm not happy with this. So
you got electricity? You got electricity? Disco ball?
She's shocked that a disco ball has to be plugged in and hung. Now, granted, the party planner should have brought her an extension cord at least and wire. I mean,
come or on. Shown up. That would have helped too. But Tiffany, the party planner, is missing in action, and so Sheree calls her up and is like, I gotta get this up. I got 4 hours to the party and this gotta go up and like, where are you? Da, 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 da. And she's like, I'll be there soon.
And then we got our beautiful who gonna check me, boo?
Yeah.
Where she and the first party planner just get up and start screaming in each other's faces, which was amazing.
Classic.
Can't imagine iconic. Why Tiffany's scared.
Yeah. Well, Tiffany should not have taken the job if she was afraid of that. I mean, I'm sorry. If you're a party planner, I feel like one thing that you have to be used to are demanding ass clients, especially ones that are on Real Housewives shows. You have to know they're going to be demanding. So like the fact that you can't deal with it, I mean, is this like Johnny's party planning company? Because this is ridiculous.
Well, as someone who's worked in party planning forever, I mean, yes, you expect people to be assholes, but Sheree is terrifying, okay? Sheree is a special case. She's like, where are you? Why don't you have this? You know she's been screaming, I will ruin your goddamn life, woman.
Oh, yeah. I feel like there's probably a lot of really crazy shit that happened off camera.
I love when she tells her son, she's like, don't you hate when you gotta be nice to a bitch? Because she owns the cards.
I was really hoping that we'd see the party planner and that'd be the woman from that show, like My Fab 40th. Fierce.
I know. Guess what? I know you put in a request for the band Train to be here, but I got you something better. An abstract opera performance. Fierce.
You got Train?
Please stop rewinding me 5 seconds. Five seconds ago I said fierce.
I know I told you I'd get you a disco ball, but instead I've gotten you popcorn balls, which are sold at carnivals. It's a
foam ball, and you can stick things in it, like flowers or whatever crafts you want. It's a crafting party now. Fierce.
You got styrofoam balls?
So Cynthia goes to pick up Kenya, and Kenya's just like, yes! Just basically
little Afro puffs. I loved her Afro puffs, actually. I thought they were great.
And Cynthia's, of course, asking about the husband, and are they having a lot of sex? And Kenya's like, 2 or 3 times a day, I had to get ice packs.
Yeah. Okay.
Has he even seen this house? Has he even been here?
Isn't he in New York? What are you talking about, Carrie Duber?
Exactly. You had to get ice packs from all the times you slammed your head with the phone when it goes to voicemail again. Like, damn it! Ow! So she's like, my husband
loves me to be wifey. We dance and we play out whatever the song is saying.
I'm like, yeah, hung up on you. Okay, so just that on a loop.
Donna. You must be a big fan of Blondie and Hanging on the Telephone. Don't leave me hanging on the telephone.
How do I get you alone? Oh, dancing by myself or dancing on my own.
Well, you were singing Heart, not Robin, right?
I know, but you know, it's just songs that she's acting out
for alone. Yeah, alone. All by myself. Don't want to be all by myself with King in the closet.
I want to be where the people are.
Under the sea level. That's where more manna is.
So let's see.
So Cynthia's talking about dating and stuff, and Kenya's like, my advice to you is to take it slow. And then Cynthia's like, cha, you just got eloped. You're telling me to take it slow? Cha. Double cha.
So funny. So let's see here. Sheree, we go back to Sheree's, and she's still yelling at everybody to do everything. It's hilarious to me. Every note is funny. It's like, yells at kid to text about canceling. Oh, no, the kid gets a text about canceling.
Tiffany gets it. No, yeah, girl. The kid, she's 31, but Tiffany, she gets a call, and she gets the text, and this is what Tiffany, I'm sorry, not Tiffany, Terry, is it Terry or Thierry or whatever.
I just wrote down Tiffany a lot. Is that the wrong thing?
Tiffany is the party planner, but the daughter's name, I think, is Thierry.
She's about around as much as Kenya's husband. I don't even believe she's real at this point.
Well, either way, she gets the text, and Tiffany goes, unfortunately, there seems to be some tension and has turned into a situation that has not aligned with my business practices, so I will not be in attendance. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Yeah. You know what? I hate when people write sentences like that or write emails or talk like that, like this, like overly formalized language that it just sounds ridiculous. I hate that.
Yes. Well, she's doing it to have written confirmation for court, basically.
Well, I understand that, but I love this, like, you know, when people want to be very serious and businesslike, I will write in formal ways, because there's a way to write formally that is proper.
She's heretofore.
Yeah.
The table linens shall be acquired from this place of business / address.
Yeah, the situation has not aligned with my business practices. They haven't aligned with your business practices because you haven't shown up yet.
Yeah, that's Tiffany's way of saying, bitch, you're scary and you are not going to rip apart my entire professional life on camera. Okay, bitch?
That's exactly right.
Pick up your tablecloths yourself. So yeah. Sheree runs around yelling, disco ball, linens. Plastic forks, like, just going crazy. And she goes, if she don't fucking show up for your grandmother, deuces, bitch. Because when she gets, like, really mad, she gets into her.
Yeah. And she, of course, also adds this, like, sanctimonious layer of, this is for my mother. This is my mother. You're doing this to my mother. It's like, okay, calm down. Your mom will be happy no matter what, because she loves you.
She goes, I think that Tiffany is trying to make it look like we threw her under the bus. She threw herself under the bus. She stood in front of the bus and waited for the bus. Hell, she came from under the bus. She came from under the bus.
She came from under the baseboards of the bus. The bus got baseball? You got bus? Baseball bus? Bus got baseball? What up? Baseball?
What up? Why are you mad? Why are you mad that the under the bus isn't finished? That's not the point. The point is the main bus. Get on the main bus. Get out from under the bus.
You watch Cape Fear? You under the bus?
Tiffany's like, it has come to my attention that under the bus is unfinished, and this does not align with my health code violation practices.
Okay? It has come, therefore, to the ether that in there to which the bus is in so much as above me that I am suddenly finding myself in a situation where I am aligned beneath the bus, and therefore, due to tension and circumstances that are circumstantial, I therefore shall be not partaking in bus activities.
What's that? Things more clearly. She's like, yes, 70s Austin Caftan Party. I'm Disco Duck, honey.
The only thing that Tiffany forgot to use was the word transpired. That's a favorite word when people want to sound sound extra serious.
I'll show you transpired.
Because the tension has transpired at this party. Because of what has transpired with this tension, I must step out.
You're about to expire with your transpire, bitch.
Bitch, get this off me. It's like getting off her mic.
So you got transpire? Does your pa identify as trans?
You got transpire? You got transpire? So over at Kenya's like, oh, I'm a wife. Look, I have a closet for my husband. And all the clothes have tags. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
That was so weird. And I was like, are those tags? And Nini's like, she got tags on those clothes. It's like, okay, it wasn't just me. You noticed that.
I mean, come on, Kenya. Like, for someone who has faked this many boyfriends, you would at least think you'd know how to take off the tags.
At least find some scissors. At least.
Oh, so party. Sheree calls Thelma. Now I wrote Thelma. Now I'm confused. But then
it's Thelma. It's Thelma, not Velma. Velma's from Scooby-Doo, right?
And Chicago.
Ah,
the musical.
Yeah, that's right.
She's like, he had it coming, Sheree. I love
how she talks. Party planner had it coming.
More Velma.
I didn't hear how she talked. I sort of didn't process it.
She's like,
I like Velma.
I love you, baby. She's got kind of a growly, kind of Muppet voice. She's really cute.
She's doing Heavenly and Quad mixed together. It's weird. So it's a disco party. Porsche is in a giant afro. And Nini is like, Nini, of course, is continuing this ridiculous feud with Porsche. And she's like, I haven't seen Porsche since Cynthia's 50th party. And I don't see her now.
Really? Because her butt is moving right up and down your face at the moment. Like, those girls were dancing.
It looked super fun. Yeah, that was actually looked like a really good party.
Sheree's like, you see, it was a disco ball. Blew their mind.
And Kenya's doing all these splits on the dance floor, and Portia's like,
ooh, whoever her husband is, he has been bending them legs back because she was down that ground spinning wide open.
And I was like on the floor laughing, bending them back. Portia is funny. I feel like she doesn't even get as much credit for being as funny as she is.
Yeah, she's fucking funny. But she's ridiculous. It's like the things that she's being accused of, like any housewife I love, really. I mean, every housewife I love, all the accusations against them are true. I mean, they're correct. But what are you going to do? I still love them. Like, what can I tell you? I still love Phaedra.
Yeah, I sort of secretly think I love almost all the housewives.
Yeah, I do too.
On some level.
The ones that I hate
even
the
Quinn.
Most.
Even Quinn.
Yeah, I've always said, like, Tamara Barney is one of the ones I just hate the most. I see right through her. I think she's evil. I think she's satanic. But I'd probably be best friends with Tamara if I ever met her.
You really would be. You really, really would.
I like snarky, fun people like that. It's just don't get too close because she'll ruin your life, you know?
By the way, at the Erica Jane thing, Brian Moylan asked Erica Jane who would be on your all-star Real Housewives roster. And she sort of named like standard, like super famous Real Housewives. But she and Brian both agreed that Leanne Locken should be on like an all-star Real Housewives lineup, which made me happy because I feel like I just want Dallas to get more and more love.
Yeah. But she also said the ones she met. You know, so that doesn't count. She's like,
well,
true.
The ones that I met that I like, I'll say, oh, I met Dorinda one time, Leanne, I guess.
No, you're supposed to pick your favorites. Come on, Erica Jane. Well, this
is
not the end, because there was a scene where
not.
Nini is driving to see Greg at the hospital, and he's like, they're about to do surgery on me. And she's like, well, tell them to wait. I'm 10 minutes away, Greg. Which is not really how it works. The doctor's we can't wait.
Yeah. And then she's like, well, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there in like 5 minutes. He's like, come now. Come now. She's like, I'm going to be there.
She's like in the Starbucks drive-thru.
Poor Greg.
Like,
it is scary.
I'm going to be right there, Greg. The next scene, she's like trying on a caftan.
She stopped for Junior Mints. Maybe she stopped for Junior Mints.
Junior Mints.
For the surgery. But Greg was scared, which is, you know, it's scary. It's
Poor
scary.
Guy.
So
I love Greg, but he knows what
I don't
like
love
to
Greg.
Scared.
I
mean, he's with Nini.
I actually don't love Greg. I kind of find him to be kind of annoying. Sweet, but annoying. Like, he just sort of, I don't know. I find that like Greg-centric scenes are not my favorite, but I do appreciate that he and I do believe that he and Nini really do love each other. And, you know, that's scary. You want to be with your boo in moments like that.
Yeah.
So,
but I don't like talking about depressing scenes. So that's the end of that. Good luck, Greg.
Good luck, Greg. I don't like talking about depressing things either. So I'm glad we're ending the episode on that note.
Yeah.
But I'll end it on a happier note, which is I'm gonna give a shout out to one of our listeners and someone who follows us on Instagram. I'm pulling it up right now because it's really, really worth looking at. His name is Bryce T. Carson. That's his Instagram name. Go follow him. The reason why I'm giving him a shout out. He made a Christmas tree, and he decorated it very tastefully, by the way. From afar, it's very tasteful. All the ornaments are Real Housewives. It's every single Real Housewife he made into an ornament, and he put them on the tree. And at the top were his favorites, and at the bottom were his least favorites. And it is kind of brilliant. It is amazing.
Amazing tree.
Yeah, Dorinda is at the very top. Kyle is at the very bottom. I kind of wish Bryce, you should put more pictures because I want to see who is where in like how they all rank. But everyone go check out his tree because he did a really just as tree decorating, it's just a really well decorated tree. But the fact that it's actually hilarious and also that there's a ranking to it, it's kind of genius. And I say very well done.
It really is good. Yeah, I hope he posts a lot more pictures because I want to see every single housewife in the ranking because he seems to kind of agree with us on a lot of them. So, you know, I love a tree that agrees with me. Also, thank you to Kirsten, who's one of the friends of the show. She sent us pins that she found that say, I'm tired. From Below Deck.
I'm tired.
Which we will be wearing on our backpacks for the rest of our lives. So thank you for those. Everyone else, go get you some tickets for Houston, Texas, baby. When is that date? March, right? March 9th.
Go get those. Hopefully, I'm just excited for that. And we also, by the way, we have merchandise. Our wine glasses have sold out. So they're temporarily out of stock, but we will get new wine glasses down the line and like not that far down the line.
Yeah,
like,
right now we've got pint glasses, we've got
t-shirts,
and then we're about to restock the wine glasses and add some coffee cups, some coffee mugs. So get your ass over to Watch What Crappens and find those links and go buy some stuff. And thank you so much to everyone who's bought stuff. And happy Thanksgiving for those of you who
don't want to listen to us. Don't want to listen to us the rest of the week.
And you're welcome for us bringing back because
it is turkey time.
Turkey time. Yeah. Love you guys.
Okay, everyone. Bye.
Bye.